We're starting a handbell choir. This lady right here is an answer to prayers. I'd been praying for a while, or really been wanting for a long time to use our handbells. We've got nice sets of handbells, a lot of accessories that go with them, but we haven't used them. I think we've used them once since I've been here. I'm working on 17 years, so October will be 17 years. We've only used them one time, and had the privilege of going to hear Karen's daughter, Emma, play with the Heritage Ringers in Huntsville. Macy, my daughter, and I went, and we had the best time, and I told Macy on the way home, I said, I would love for us to have a handbell choir, but I don't have time to have another group. And so I told Tammy that when I got home. The next day, this lady shows up in the church office. I thought she's here to see Brother Joel or Karen and Amy, and she said, I'm actually here to see you. And she gave me a short testimony. She said that her former minister of music at Mount Zion Church in Madison has been after her for a while saying, have you told him yet? Have you told him yet? Have you told him yet? So she said, I'm here telling you today that I've been working with handbells for years. You'll hear probably more about that in the days ahead. But we're blessed to have Karen Farr and her husband Don as a part of our church family. And we're going to start ringing these bells. And so would you tell everybody what the ministry of the handbell choir can be at our church?
All right. I'm Karen Farr, and I've been doing this forever. And all you need to do to be able to be in the handbell choir is you have to be able to knock and then count to four. And sometimes six, but we can cheat, okay, and just only go to two. The handbell choir is the easy thing. I had some ladies already talk to me, and they read music, but if you don't read music, that's fine too, because there's plenty of us that do, and there's these little things called highlighters, and you're only responsible for like two notes, so that's okay. But more importantly, the handbell choir, it's a choir, but it can be a ministry, and it can, it brings lots of blessings. I can't tell you how many blessings. We pray together, we fellowship, we laugh, they laugh at me a lot, but it's just a wonderful thing. It's more than just certainly playing in church and giving our offering, but it's going out in the community and blessing them. And if you want to play and be a part of this ministry, please, when we have our meetings, let us know, let Ken or call the office. You won't regret it.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already had some people talk to me after early worship today. I don't know who all talked to Karen, but I think I have 11 that have mentioned to me they'd like to be a part of it. So that's exactly how many that we need for the amount of bells we have, but we can have more than that. And we also need some people that can fill in when other people can't be there. So we've got room, and we'd love for you to be a part of this. So see me or call Karen in the church office, or if you see Karen sometime, you can mention it to her. We're going to have an informational meeting to get started with and find out the time for practice and all that. So nothing is set yet on that, and we're looking forward to it. So choir, will you stand up? We're going to have a prayer together and then begin this time of worship. And I'm so happy that you're here today. Heavenly Father, we are happy that you're here today. And Lord, we desire to be with you, to communicate with you, to commune with you. And Lord, you created us for that, as Brother Joel has shared with us many occasions, to spend time with you. And that's what we do when we come into this house that's been set aside for worship. And we want to worship you, Lord. You are great and awesome. You are the creator of the universe. You're sovereign, Lord. You are holy. And you are loving and gracious and kind and merciful to us. You have shown victory. And we just pray, God, that you would bring victory in our lives today over sin, over death in the grave, that you would show victory over us as we walk through this life and face various trials. But we know that with your presence, Lord, you make all the difference. And thank you for the life that you've given us to live. And let us use our life for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand reverently with me as we begin singing?
Morning, our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning.
Everybody.
He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. The balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth me.
Sing hallelujah. See the joyful expression that you have on your face. He has made me glad. It's kind of hard to have a frown on when you're singing. He has made me glad. And so thank you for worshiping the Lord as we sing about the great I am, the God of Abraham. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am. And he was equating himself with God. And certainly he is God and was God. And so we're grateful for that, grateful for all that Jesus has done for us. I'd like to share with you a new song to our congregation. This is a contemporary song, but it was contemporary back in 1990. And, you know, to me, that's still contemporary, right? But to people that are kind of born in the 2000s, it's an old song. But it's based on Psalm 27, verse 8. This is the NIV. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. So we seek the face of the Lord today. So we enter into this time of worship, time of prayer. Let this song be a prayer for you today as you seek the face of God. Let us sing it one time on the first verse and then sing it with us as we sing that verse again.
As we seek your face, may we know your heart. Feel your presence, acceptance as we seek.
Sing it together now.
As we seek your face,
Lord God, we seek your face today in worship, in prayer, in studying your word. We seek your face not just today, but every moment of every day. For Lord, we realize that you're our life. You are in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit within us, convicting us of sin, convincing us of truth, empowering us to live the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, that just like Joel preached last week, that you're ever interceding on behalf of us. Jesus interceding and the Holy Spirit explaining what we mean when we pray, when we don't say the right words, when we don't know how to pray, but your Holy Spirit, as Joel said, he's got this. And Lord, we thank you for having us. Thank you for your presence and your love. Help us to continually seek your face and be true worshipers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we pray, a lot of times we bring things before God. It can be a lot of things. And Joel kind of covers that some today in the message. But, you know, we bring our petitions, our requests before God. And we intercede for other people and pray for them. We confess our sins unto God. God knows what we've done, but we're just acknowledging and agreeing with him that we've done it. And we don't want to do it anymore. We want to repent and turn away from that sin. And we bring our praise, just like we did earlier. I bring the sacrifice of praise. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that song, you know, I like The Chosen movie. And Tammy and I went to see it at the theater last night. And that's quite a commitment on Tammy on my part, because it's 200 minutes plus. It's over 3 hours that we were there. And she said, well, I've got to do it for you because you watch those Hallmark movies with me. So we came home after 3 hours of The Chosen and watched a movie we missed last week. And in that, the girl broke up with the guy because he proposed to her and he didn't do a very good job of it. And so what ended up being was he had to be willing to look foolish and do something extravagant to propose to her. And he really did. He did a great job. Spoiler alert, it was really good. But I got to thinking about David coming before the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem to worship. And he danced before the Lord, and how he was willing to look foolish in the eyes of people, but to worship God. And how much we're looking to what people think of us instead of turning loose and worshiping the Lord. I want to be willing to look foolish so that God would be glorified. And hopefully, through that willingness to sacrifice that God would be honored. And so I must tell Jesus. I want to tell him all my troubles, my trials. I want to tell him how great he is, how wonderful he is, and how much I love him. And I hope that as we sing this song, it's a prayer, it's a thought, it's a testimony. I must tell Jesus. This is our offertory hymn today. What will you offer to God? Will it be money? That's part of what we offer. But more than that, we offer ourselves and our sacrifice of praise and our willingness to make ourselves less and God more, just like John the Baptist told about what he was doing. I must tell Jesus. We're going to stand on the last. So let's sing this together and glorify the Lord together.
Amen. all singing, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus.
Father, we come to you this morning because we need Jesus in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us and provide for us. And Lord, that we don't have to carry our burdens alone. That we have you, Lord, in all things. And Lord, we pray this morning as we sing and as we study your word and as we hear the gospel preached from the pulpit, Lord, that you'll be glorified in it, Lord, and receive honor, glory, and praise. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that we give with cheerful hearts, Lord, and that you will use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. We love you and we need you. And Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Karen has the heart of a worship leader. We were talking Wednesday night. She was practicing this, and we just kind of started singing it. And she said, I love it when y'all sing with me on that. So that was powerful. And so I hope you sing along too. This is not about performance with us. We talk about this all the time. This is a worship leading choir. It's not a performance choir. We can, and they do a good job, a mighty good job in performance, but it's not a performance choir. Our desire is to lead in worship. So now we're going to do a song entitled Holy Spirit. Many of you may have heard it, might have heard it on the radio or listened to it on your device or something like that, or maybe you remember when the youth choir sang it. Daisy Grace Baker sang the solo with the youth choir. She's a college student at Samford University now, but when she was in the youth choir, she sang the solo on this song. And so you've heard it before, most of you. So sing along with us when you recognize it. We're going to repeat the first verse again and do it a different way. The men will join in. And so why don't you join in with us and let's worship the Lord together as we sing Holy Spirit. This is a song that's a prayer as well. So let's pray together as we sing.
Thank you.
the presence of the Lord. So prayer, communication, knowing God, loving God, God's presence in us, with us. So that's kind of where we are last Sunday. Today, as well, Psalms chapter 27, verse 8. Ken's already read it, and so we already have that word, but we'll get to looking at it again here in just a moment. So today, last Sunday, today, and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about prayers. We enter into our first prayer event next Sunday night on the 18th. So last Sunday, I really wanted that to be just such a simple word. Same is basically true today. A simple word from the Apostle Paul telling us, because of the work and the merit of Christ, and only because of the work and the merit of Christ, we now have been adopted into the family. Spiritually, that's what Paul is talking about. We're all, as creatures, we are all children of the Creator. But Paul is talking spiritually. So those of us that have repented of our sin, we've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, we have now been, because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we've been adopted into the family. We are spiritually His children. And then Paul says, he says it in Romans 8, and he also says it in Galatians chapter 4. He says, because of that, because of what Christ has done for us, adopted into the family, and now we call Him Abba, Father. And Abba, Father, was a colloquial term in the first century that meant, it expressed the close relationship that existed between the son or the daughter and the father. And so Paul is talking about this now, this close relationship that exists between us, adopted children, with our Heavenly Father. We now call Him Abba, Father. It's basically, for lack of a better term, it's our word for dad. And it's talking about this close relationship that exists. And I didn't really get into any of the specifics of prayer. This is how you pray. This is what time you're supposed to pray. This is how long you're supposed to pray. I didn't get into any of that. I just wanted us to understand this basic. We, more often than not, as the body of Christ, we skip over this most basic part of prayer, this communication with God the Father. We skip over that because that is not the fun stuff, to talk about how we can talk to the Lord in prayer and get more things from God out of prayer. And we miss this most basic part of prayer. You and I, because of Jesus, have the opportunity to communicate with Holy God. And I just wanted it to just be that simple. We're going to kind of piggyback on that today. Douglas Kelly, he wrote a book, and the book's title is, If God Knows, Why Pray? If God already knows, and we've already messed up, we've already made the mistake of months ago talking about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign over all things. So biblically, we've already preached that sermon. So if God is sovereign over all things, that's His point. If God already knows, then why pray? Here's what he writes. Our triune God is a communion of holy love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 1:1, speaking of the relationship between the Son and the Father, calls the Son the Word and says that the Word was God. This indicates the sharing of personal communion among the persons of the Trinity. And that sort of sharing involves speaking. The prayers of believers to their Heavenly Father through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit reflect then the eternal speaking within the Godhead, in whose image they were first created and then recreated in regeneration. We pray because we were made, born, created to commune with God the Father. Let me say that again. We pray because we were made for This is one of the reasons and the purposes that we were made to commune with God the Father. Not we pray so that we can receive certain things or so that we can gain a better understanding of something. How many times, oh Lord, Joel, I've been praying and I just want to know the will of the Lord for my life, and I want you to know it too. We pray because we want certain things. We pray because we want to understand. Yes, all of that is true. But we pray primarily we pray because we were made to commune with God. And that's huge, and that's powerful, and that is really, really, really big. I was saying this morning in the early worship, over the 2,000 year history of the church, there has been abuse and abuse and abuse and abuse and abuse. We study church history and we know that there has been abuse after abuse after abuse of many things that have happened in the body of Christ. And over the past 100 years, especially here in America, we have seen such an abuse of this beautiful creation of God, of having communion with God the Father. As His children, because of Jesus, I get to talk to God the Father. How cool is that? And because of that, we've seen abuse after abuse after abuse of this thing, this beautiful thing called prayer. We are sinners. And because we are sinners, we're selfish. Jesus really knew what He was talking about when Jesus said, "Love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself." Jesus knew something as our Creator. And what did He know? Joel loves Joel. Let me tell you something. As naturally as I breathe, when I woke up this morning until I go to bed tonight, oh, Joel's going to take care of Joel. I'm going to take care of me in every way possible. And Jesus was making the point, man, how great would it be if we took care of others in the same way that we want to take care of our own needs? The same way that we love ourselves in order to take care of ourselves. Jesus understood something real clear. We love us. We're sinners. We're going to take care of us. And as sinners, we're often selfish. And so oftentimes we turn our sin and our selfishness and this thing called prayer into just simply, all I'm looking for in prayer is, what can I get from God to fill my selfishness with more stuff? And it's an abuse. A sad abuse of the body of Christ in this thing called prayer. God's people have been called to pray from the very beginning. In the garden, the Lord walked and talked with the crown of His creation. But after they sinned and they rebelled against Him, they hid from Him and prayer was hindered. God didn't stop there. God made a promise. After His judgment of the devil and Adam and Eve, His promise was that He would bruise the head of the serpent, and ultimately Jesus, the Word made flesh, became that seed. And the Old Testament simply prepared us for the victorious arrival of this Jesus, Messiah. Jesus then restored what Adam messed up. And after the fall, the Lord did not stop speaking to us. So we continue to talk to the Father. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God speaking to His people. We see His people speaking to Him. In every sort of situation, Enoch walked with God. Abraham did the same. Noah, the same. Isaac, Jacob, King David wrote the book of prayer, Psalms. And everything is covered in the book of prayer. And when I say everything, I'm not exaggerating as a preacher. I'm telling you, everything is covered. Joy, grief, pain, stress, praise, worship, confession, faith, petition. Everything is covered in the Psalms. And in Psalms 28, 27 verse 8, Ken's already read it for you. The psalmist says, my heart has heard you say, Lord, come and talk with me. And so because I hear you, Lord, saying, come and talk with me, then I respond back to you, Lord. Lord, I am coming. My version says it this way. My heart has heard the Lord say, come and talk with me. And so my heart calls back to the Father and responds and says, Lord, I am on my way. That's prayer. God saying, Joel, talk with me. And me saying, I will. Be happy to. We pray because God calls us to speak to Him, and believing hearts cannot help then but respond. Kelly once again writes, with much prayer there is much blessing. With little prayer there is little blessing. So why do we pray? Do we pray to get stuff? You better believe we do. And we do pray. See, sometimes I'm going to tell y'all what happens to you guys. Sometimes y'all read into what I'm not saying. And then y'all come to me and say, I heard you say this in your sermon last Sunday. And I go, no, I didn't say that. That's what you read into what I didn't say. So don't hear me saying that prayer is not about asking God for things in our lives. Oh, absolutely not. God commands us. He tells us, ask. Yes. Do we pray to get stuff from God? You better believe we do. Do we pray to know things about God? You better believe that we do. Do we pray in order to become wise? Yes. Do we pray in order to act better? Yes. To be more like Jesus? Yes. Do we pray in order to feel better about our life and about our situations? Yes. All of that is true. Yes, 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 yes. But my point is, primarily we pray simply because we have the opportunity to communicate with Holy God. Whatever it is that I'm going through tomorrow, good, bad, right, wrong, more like Jesus, sinner, whatever it is that I'm going through tomorrow, God invites me, Joel, come and pray. Speak to me. Let's talk. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Why pray after all if God already knows what we need? Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that God already knows our prayers before we even ask. He knows every detail of our lives. Why pray if it does not make any ultimate difference after all? Because God works things according to the counsel of His will. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:11, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Yes. For God chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Doug Forsyth says, first, God does not need prayer. He's not waiting on us so that He can act according to His will. No, God is God, and He's sovereign ruler of the universe. But He has entered into a relationship with His people, us. And we pray because He wants us to trust Him. And He wants us to understand that He loves us and that He cares for us, that He literally is Abba, Father. Second, God also uses prayer to bring about changes in our lives. We are to pray in Jesus' name and under the authority of the Holy Spirit and according to His will. Following this biblical model for prayer teaches us to seek God's will and to come to the Lord with a desire that our lives would reflect God's glory and the image of Jesus. And then he stops in his writing. And he talks for a few minutes about certain things. But then he says, all right, here's what I want you to do. Think about this for a moment. Here's what he writes. What is more eternally significant? Let me make this personal. Joel, what is more eternally significant? That your circumstances change here on this earth to fit your life and what you want, or for you to become more like Jesus? I hope you know the answer to that question. So you insert your name. What is more important for you? For the circumstance in your life that you really want to change because that's all that you can see? Is that what you want, or do you want to become more like Jesus? It's a good question. Prayer. I hope you know the answer to that question. He says, finally, prayer is also a means that God uses to bring about His will, not because He's dependent on prayer, but because He has chosen to use prayer to that end. That is to say, that God already knows His will and His sovereign divine will for our lives, but God chooses prayer in order to bring about that His sovereign will in our lives. We see this pattern, he says, in the Old Testament. God's children would cry out to Him for rescue. Now, He had already promised to deliver them, and yet God chose to use the prayers of His people to initiate the deliverance for them. When we look at prayer in Scripture, what is it? Communication with God the Father. How cool is that? It is done only because of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus, and for His sake. It is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is communicating with God the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's an old Latin phrase, and that Latin phrase is lex orandi, lex credendi. Lex orandi, lex credendi. And it means this: the law of prayer is the law of believing. The law of prayer, communicating with God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, the law of our praying then leads to the law of my believing in sovereign God Himself. Father, thank You for that powerful word that comes from the psalmist today. Lord, I hear You telling me, come, Joel, and pray. Spend time with me. And my heart cries out, I'm on my way, Lord. I'm on my way. Father, Abba, thank You, Father, for the opportunity of prayer. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that doesn't know what I'm talking about, our prayer is that they will repent of their sin and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and enter into this dynamic love relationship with God the Father through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. For those of us that know You as Savior and Lord, Father, it is our prayer that we understand even in a greater way just what a beautiful, beautiful truth it is that You call us to pray, to commune with You, to speak with You, to listen to You, to be guided and directed by You, to know Your sovereign will for our lives. Thank You, Father, that You love us that much. And that is our prayer, Father, that we would know this dynamic love relationship of prayer. Thank You, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is, I Need Thee Every Hour. If you've never trusted Christ, trust Him today. We always encourage those of you that have never trusted Jesus to trust Him. If you need to join our church and the ministry here at First Baptist Church, we encourage you to do that. If you need to just come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to, do that as we stand, as we sing.
nations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
please be seated real quickly. Will, what do we got first to look at? All right, so our women's Bible study was started this past Wednesday night. Morgan Odell leading that group, 10 Women of the Bible by Max Lucado, in the P27 Sunday School classroom at 6 o'clock. And man, it was slammed. I mean, we had deacons meeting right next door. So I wanted to make sure that the air was going to come on because it was kind of warm Wednesday night. And so I stuck my head in just to look at the thermostat. And when I did, I was like, oh my. I mean, this was women of all ages in that room and for that study. And I thought, that is so fabulous. After it was over with, I talked to Morgan real quick. I said, all right, so we always have to walk this fine line when it comes to discipleship classes. We don't want y'all to be so packed into a room that people don't come. And yet at the same time, the discipleship class like that, what really makes it so good is that it's an intimate time in a all together kind of in a classroom. So I said, Mo, whatever we need to do, if we need to find a bigger room, we will. If this is good, that's fine. So Morgan and I are kind of keeping that, you know, making sure that we're attuned to that. But for right now, it's in P27. It was really good. So ladies, go to that. You're going to really enjoy it. All right. And then this Wednesday is our Valentine lunch with our mature adults. Sign-up sheets on the Old Lord's Supper table. So that's going to be a fun day for you senior adults. So come and be a part of that. Sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table. Where two or more are gathered, that is going to be the first of our prayer events, not tonight, but next Sunday night, February 18, 6 p.m., here in the sanctuary. Ken is going to lead us as we think about one of the Old Testament models of prayer. And so, talking about praying through the tabernacle, and Ken's going to kind of lead us in that. And we've already, as a staff, we're really excited about that, looking forward to that. And that will be the first of our four prayer events for the year, all right? And Ken.
Yeah, we've talked about that already, but if you're interested, you can see me after the service.
All right, that's it?
Well, that's already
no, happened. That's already happened. All right. All right, so let's stand and close by singing. Today's the last day. I say it's the last day turning your bottles. It's the last day that we officially are turning in our bottles. They take these 365 days out of the year, to be quite honest with you. But today's our last day that we're going to have to turn these in. Please do that. All right, let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus.